You're listening to IdgitCast, Season 2, Episode 10, Hunted. A woman has a vision of Hamster Huey and the Gooey Kablooey, otherwise known as Sam Winchester. Meanwhile, Gordon Walker shows up and warns Dean that Sam must die, or else he will become evil.
Welcome back to IdgitCast. I am your newbie and overly verbose summarizer, Paul Mackey. And I am in Superior, Wisconsin at the foot of the Bong Bridge.
Bong.
Bong. And that bong is my lovely wife, Darcy, who is unfortunately not here in Superior, Wisconsin, or in Duluth, or anywhere nearby. She is in Elk River, Minnesota.
But I have muffins.
But she has muffins. And that's not a euphemism.
No, it's not. They're like real muffins. Cranberry orange, to be specific.
Swell. Okay. And then down in Texas, we have John Pavlich.
It is March, and there are June bugs here.
Ooh.
You suck, nature.
Ooh, those things are huge, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, annoying.
And over in New Orleans, we have Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
Hi.
Hi.
And we don't have a guest on this episode, so we're just going to be flying together solo.
We'll get it done.
Try solo. That makes okay. No sense.
All right, well, should we get into the episode?
Let's do it.
Couldn't hurt.
Okay. Well, we open with a guy named Scott in a recorded psych session with Dr. Waxler. To the strains of Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit, Scott explains how roughly a year ago he discovered an ability to electrocute things with the power of his mind, starting with a poor little kitty.
R.I.P. kitty.
The doctor does not seem inclined to indulge Scott in a handshake, but asks why he wanted to hurt his neighbor's cat. Scott didn't want to, but the yellow-eyed man who comes in his dreams wanted it. And more. He says the yellow-eyed man has plans for him, but we cut away before he elaborates. In very foggy surroundings, Scott feels he's being watched. He spots someone behind him in his car window, but when he turns, he gets a few knife wounds to the gut, killing him.
Ouch.
So I initially thought it was definitely the psychologist that was killing him.
Oh.
Yeah, and I kept that thought for quite a while in this episode.
Interesting. I didn't think anything. I was just like, oh, look, he got stabbed. My brain wasn't that good.
Any word on the character actor who played the doctor?
No.
He seemed familiar.
Okay.
He did seem familiar to me, too, but I'm not sure where from.
I didn't bother to look him up. Sorry.
They all seem familiar at some point, right?
Yes, everybody seems familiar because everybody's character actor.
Right.
Canadians.
Absolutely. Sorry. Rustling.
Oh, rustling.
I'm sewing.
Oh, dear.
I know. It's what I do.
Then we're back by the river, drinking beer prior to driving.
Of course,
don't
why
drink
not?
And drive.
Oh, and we're drinking and we're revealing. John did tell Dean something before dying. Dean is supposed to watch out for and take care of Sam. Dean has to save Sam. But if he can't
kill
save
him.
Sam, he is going to have to kill Sam.
Just kill him. So, do y'all think he was right in telling Sam this? I'm on the fence, personally.
I think in a way, because then Sam can give him the heads up, like maybe way ahead of time, and it won't come to the killing part.
Knowledge mm-hmm. is power.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they don't know the nature of the transformation, but no. Maybe they could have a code word that when Sam doesn't say the code word at the right time, then that means, hey, he's gone evil.
Or something. I mean, the thing is, I don't know. I don't know how all of it really works, but I'm sure they're clever boys. They could figure something out. What?
Sure. They're fond of code words.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Okay, never mind. Shh.
Okay.
I was going to say something, but I can't remember if that's if I know about that yet or not. Okay.
Okay. If you know about it from this episode, it's fair game.
I can't remember, though. See, it all right. Blends together for me. I'm not able to differentiate. Sorry. Sorry, kids. That's okay. What? No, not you kids.
The other kids.
The other kids I'm playing with. The kids I'm having over for my Sunday morning play date here.
Wait. Yes.
Wait, I have kids. I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Okay, Fox, that's enough, little goofball.
Well, Sam, for one, is mad that he waited to say something. Dean wishes he didn't have a secret to keep in the first place. And while Sam wants to go and figure out what's going on, Dean says that they should just lie low and stay safe. Next thing we see, though, is Sam stealing a car outside the Velvet Inn Motel. When he gets out of the car, he has stationery from the Blue Rose Motel. With the address of the rundown house, he is approaching. He appears inside, finds a door, and picks the lock. Inside, he looks down when he feels the resistance of what turns out to be a tripwire, which springs, triggering a hand grenade booby trap. Blood on the camera and everything. But then it looks like a vision, and suddenly a woman awakes, panting, and says, "Oh, go back to sleep, it's another nightmare." All right, so I wanted to take a time out on this one for what's the nature of these visions, because we've talked about it a little bit, but are the visions either A, sent by the yellow-eyed demon directly, which seems unlikely because they seem to be more of a helpful nature, or B, are they just a side effect because they're all linked up together? Or C, is there some kind of supernatural universe powers that be sending them visions?
Hey, it could be from the yellow-eyed man still. I'm not going to rule that out because he has plans, and if that other person who is out to get this guy is interrupting those plans by getting him, that's a problem.
Oh, that's a really good point, Darcy. Like, you don't want your soldiers or whatever getting killed off.
Right.
In this case, but I mean, in the previous cases, Sam has gone to prevent the doctor's death mm-hmm. and things. He's.
Well, I'm talking about this episode.
How do we know? Also, I guess we don't know, like, maybe there was a plan for that guy, too. Like, we don't really know all of the parts that are clinking into place yet. It's also helpful, I would think, to have, like, psychics if you are fighting some kind of demonic war.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not sending the things, but, you know, it's still, like, he enabled them to have those visions. And they're just seeing the future.
It's possible.
All right. Well, Sam is at Harvell's Roadhouse, and Dean is not with him. Ellen says that Dean's been calling there looking for Sam, and she also says that Joe has run off to keep hunting, which Ellen was, of course, firmly against.
But now I guess she's all right with it. We're not all right, but what can you do?
Well, as a mother, you have to let your child grow and develop. Yes.
And hunt demons.
And kill things.
And kill things, yes. They seem so angelic at the moment. We'll see what happens. We know how Iris likes to talk about death all the time. Scary.
Yes.
Fox, stay out of it.
Yeah, she likes to make sure that she knows how all of the bones go together when we're eating chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And where the feet are.
Yeah, why are there no feet?
And Mom, you're gonna die one day, but it's not today.
She says that a lot and it really freaks me out.
Yeah.
She started saying that early on in life. So
yeah. Somebody else is having visions, I guess.
Well, you know, it will happen. Eventually. I hope it's more eventually than like tomorrow.
I'm hoping that's more of a detail of dealing with that she doesn't have one of her grandmas than.
Well, she knows I hurt. Yeah. She totally reads me, you know.
All right.
Oh. Hello, furry baby.
Much like Sam didn't say what was going on between him and Dean, she also declines to tell him what happened with her, Bill, and John, other than that she forgave John, but John never forgave himself.
Okay.
Little backstory service there.
Yeah.
It was intended and due and needed, I think.
Yes, and I'm sure they will elaborate more as they feel like they can dribble it out to us.
I know, y'all. I'm starting to get annoyed with the mythology, which is probably a bad sign. But oh, no. I'm just like, just come out and tell me already. You know, like, yeah, I'm tired of it getting like parsed out in like little tiny sections.
Well, partially that all of the mythology so far. I mean, other than the yellow-eyed demon side, which is a little bit more, of a traditional. Storytelling, all of the relationship mythology is all based on secrets that I'm not quite telling you all of yet, and I'm not going to quite tell you this, and I know it all, but I'm not going to tell you.
Right, because like, okay, if we think about it, like, why did Dean wait this long to tell Sam? I mean, that's an uncomfortable thing to tell somebody, but either tell him not, like, tell him or don't tell him. You know, there's no reason to like wait like five episodes or what. You know, just either say it or don't say it. Like, mm-hmm. It seems silly to wait that long to say something and then to deal with the repercussions of it.
I mean, they have a conversation about that very thing, because Dean says that, like, he spent the whole time battling with the decision whether or not to tell Sam, because one, he knew that it was going to mess with Sam, but also, like, he can't carry it alone, this information, you know, any longer. And also, he, you know, made a promise to his dying father, you know, so it's a very conflicted issue. In terms of, like, you know, mythology and information being doled out, like, I'm after watching six seasons of Lost, like, I'm used to it, so
yeah, I suppose that was. I lost interest the first season, and I was like, I don't have the brain for this. I just can't.
Mm.
I can't continue. So there you go.
It goes down a lot smoother if you just watch the whole thing on Netflix.
If you binge it all, yeah. That's
perhaps.
I guess with Lost, like, also it maybe prepared me for the horrible realization that what if they never actually wrap up the mythology? You know, like, like, I was dutifully tuning in every week. I watched it, you know, in real time. And I was, like, so obsessed with it. And then I'm like, oh, my God, what if Supernatural does this to me, too? Like, what if I end up in season 10 or whatever season we're in now, and I still don't know the freaking yellow-eyed demon's plans? I'm going to be really pissed. Well, you know? Like,
my whole standpoint on that is that's never the point anyway. Like, that's should never be what's important. At least, you know, that's how I view story. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you show up for the mystery, but you stay for the characters.
Okay.
I don't know if I can do that. I mean, I will.
All right.
Are we going to lose you?
No, no, I'm committed, and I'm not a quitter, so I will be here. But I'm going to be sad if we're still fighting a demon war 10 years in the future. You know?
Yeah, but we're going to have to drink some wine if that's the case.
I'm going to have to start drinking a lot more to handle that.
It's okay. So. That's okay. I'll help you. We should send her a couple of bottles from our Lexus Bailey Vineyard dealio. She'd like that.
Yeah, we forgot to cancel that in time, so we're paying for that.
Yay!
For that. Yeah.
Wine for Darcy. This is really a good thing. It is. It's how I cope.
Yeah, sure. And let me lift the veil for our listeners for a minute. We are recording this at 10 in the morning, so we are talking about getting drunk at 10 a.m.
Yes.
So, you know, just so you know.
Yes.
No, we're talking about getting drunk at 10 a.m., but we won't really actually get there until 11 or 12. So
yeah, I'll be honest. I have a bottle of wine within arm's reach, so you don't know what's going to happen here.
If somebody handed me a Bloody Mary right now, I would not turn it down.
Oh, that sounds so good. Oh.
And I'm living in a house with Baptists.
Just like a few hours sleep, so I may fall over and pass out.
Oh, no, we don't want that. Yeah. Maybe you just
because I don't drink coffee or any of that stuff. Like, I'm drinking water right now.
I don't know how you handle your life.
See, I already had two cups of coffee, and then I switched over to Diet Coke because I didn't have time to make another pot of coffee before we started. So that wine is starting to look pretty good.
Mm. I'm living in a house with Baptists, and I do know where the neighborhood brew pub is.
No, you're gonna have to do that sometime, because I'm not sure I approve of those Baptists. Yes. I think they might be getting to you, Paul. I don't know. We'll see. I don't.
Hey, I get the podcasting fluid when I'm down there.
Oh. So what? Are they like going to come in your room and bust you with a beer can?
No idea.
And throw you out?
I have no idea. It was implied that non-drinking was a good thing, but I don't know if they just meant, you know, drinking to excess and coming home and barfing in the toilet at 1 a.m. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's not your style. Well, I mean, I've seen you do it, but it's been a while.
It's been my style, but not in my 40s.
Well, and you know, it's not something you would do, you know, every week or every month. You know, it's occasional. I've done it.
It's the only occasional binge drinking, right?
I've done it too, you know.
It's healthy.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call it healthy.
Everything in moderation.
That's there right.
Binge drinking in moderation.
There you go.
That's what we're teaching our children, yes.
So far, we can't even hardly get them to try it.
Well, try what? Binge drinking? That's probably a good thing.
Alcohol.
Oh, well, I have to be honest. I don't know that that's a good thing at this point.
It is.
Well, it's good that they won't.
Sure, I suppose.
So there you go.
That they won't. Yeah, I guess.
When y'all were like growing up, did your parents like give you like a glass of wine with like Thanksgiving dinner and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
Yep. Mine always did, yeah.
Yep, and I never drank it either. It was nasty, I thought.
I didn't either. I was like, ooh, gross. This is dry in my mouth. I hate it, you know?
Yeah.
Any time that beer or wine was open, we were allowed to taste it.
Yep.
But we didn't ever have our own glass until 16 or so.
Yeah. No, we were always offered, and then, yeah, I think like from the age of, I want to say like 9 up, we had a glass with Thanksgiving dinner. And
It was Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that was it. Yeah.
Boy, that's interesting. Our households were the same that way. Well, you came from Catholic?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. My dad was, too. So maybe it has something to do with that, you think?
I think it might, yeah, because I remember, I think we got wine in church.
Yeah, we did, too.
I don't think it was grape juice, so.
Well, I mean, they called it wine. It was probably just grape juice. Tasted like grape juice to me. Hard to say.
I'm not sure.
Well, technically, it is grape juice.
I know. It's just whether or not it's fermented or not. So, you know.
Right. Wine always weirds me out because, you know, you drink it and then it's all warm inside and it's like, what? This is.
Yum.
Stop it.
No, it's so good.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about red wine. It's like,
it's
you know,
looking at me. It's looking at me. We got to quit talking about it, okay?
Drink me.
I mean, it is after 10, but I really should wait till 11. Come on.
Today on Alcohol Cast.
A glass of wine a day is good for you.
That's right. I had one yesterday. I did cap it at 1, so there you go. I've got a lot of day to get through here. So.
And they say that the coffee fights off the liver cancer.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, good. I've been drinking that coffee nonstop for years. Well, all day, every day.
All day? See, I can't do that. If I drink it after, like, noon, then I can't sleep. So.
Oh, I have such, it's like an addiction. Like, I gave it up for Lent 1 year, and I was like a raging mess. Like, my head was, like, hurting every single day.
Oh, that
it
would
was
be
awful.
Horrid.
Caffeine withdrawal.
I couldn't do that.
No, seriously. Oh, it wasn't as bad as the year I gave up sugar. I thought I was going to die.
You know what? Like, for an entire year, I stopped drinking sodas, and I thought it was going to be an issue, and I was fine.
Really?
Were you supplementing like other caffeine or other sugar or something?
No, the only reason I started it back up again is because I moved back in with my mom to take care of her and you know she drinks sodas, so like I'm just, you know, around sodas now, and so I just like I drink them more.
Right.
But yeah, it was like for a whole year I was like, oh, it turns out I don't really miss it.
Huh.
And that was when I was like, I was just like getting in shape and taking better care of myself. So it could be that like I never had the opportunity to sort of feel the effects of the withdrawal, but because I was just, you know, I was doing other stuff like exercising and weightlifting and things like that.
Wow. I've never done weightlifting.
It's fun. I like it.
I refuse to exercise. I don't believe in all that. Mm-mm. No,
see, I like to walk. I like to bike, but I you know, if somebody's like, okay, you need to do you know, this kind of exercise, then I'm totally out. I can't do it if it's for the purpose of exercise. If it's for the purpose of getting out, enjoying nature, you know,
right.
I like that. But otherwise, not for me.
Mm-mm. Yeah. All right, well, back to the show, I guess.
Yeah, back to the show. Yeah. We talked about why. We talked about exercise, caffeine. What other good topics can we get to?
They're doing it again. Looking for nursery fire babies. This time, apparently, specifically combing through for born in 83 nursery fire babies.
So, y'all, I'm so is Ash the – I still think Ash is Ellen's son. I think it's been said that it's not, but they react to each other totally like mother-son style.
Maybe he's, like, adopted, like, his dad was a hunter, and he was left abandoned, and...
He just showed up on the pool table one day.
That very well could be something like that.
I feel like if he's not Joe's brother, they, like, missed some stuff by not just making him family. It makes more sense to me. Also, I totally think Ash is the one who's tipping off that hunter.
It really feels that way. Gordon.
Yeah.
For sure. Gordon.
Maybe he doesn't like the boys.
Yeah, I feel like he's not. Because, okay, I totally think he's been asked to look for those, like, people who were born in 83, who were in fires or whatever. And so he came back with it really quick. And I think he's totally tipping off Gordon. I do.
Okay. Well, and Ash gets a little uptight about doing the work. But he has gotten the four hits, but they are Sam, Max, Andy, and Scott Carey, deceased. Deceased as of a month ago or so, stabbed to death. So Sam goes to Indiana to investigate this and asks Ellen not to tell Dean. Because secrets are good, y'all.
So dumb. Okay.
Yeah. What the
heck? Is it like in the very next scene that Ellen tells Dean, or does she wait like, you know, two steps? Because I feel like Dean's like, hey, Ellen, where's Sam or whatever? And like she says no twice. And then she's like, okay, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Anyway.
I don't even know if it gets to twice, but here we are.
Yeah.
Scott's dad tells Sam that he suffered some headaches and some mood swings, nightmares, spent a lot of time shut up in his room, and Sam asks to see the room. He manages to swipe a pill bottle with Dr. Waxler's name on it and finds that the closet wall is a collage of yellow-eyed people.
Dun, dun, dun!
At this point, I was positive it was the doctor that had killed him. I was like, oh, yeah, Sam's going to go find the doctor, and the doctor is going to be some other demon hunter person. But I guess I was wrong.
Returning to the Blue Rose Motel, Sam hears footsteps approaching behind him, and he whirls to confront the woman who had the nightmare vision of him with the tripwire.
I like this actress. John, I guess, did you look up who that was by any chance?
I didn't have to. I already knew who that is.
Oh, okay. Who is that?
Her name is Catherine Isabel, mm-hmm. And she is probably most known for the Canadian Werewolf trilogy, Ginger Snaps.
Well, people keep telling me I need to see that.
Oh, that's where I know her from. Thank you.
See?
I love Ginger Snaps. Oh, mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in years, but it's so good. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no full spoilers on this, but... her sister in that film will also appear in Supernatural in the future.
Ooh. Yay.
Exciting.
Because Canada.
Canada.
Yes. Interesting sort of connection with this episode and the people involved. Catherine Isabel was also in Freddy versus Jason. The director of this episode is Rachel Talalay, and she directed Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, and Tank Girl.
Oh, Tank Girl! I love Tank Girl! I want to be just like her.
I have such a Freddy Krueger love and obsession. I'm so glad to hear
that. Well, there you go.
Thank you. And Ginger Snaps is so good!
Mm-hmm.
People keep telling me I need to see it. I still haven't.
Yeah.
I don't think
John, have you seen Ginger Snaps Back? Is that the one that's,
I've not seen any of the sequels. I've just only seen the first one.
I think I've seen all of the sequels. I think the most recent one was Snaps Back, and this isn't spoilery because it's sort of like in the first second, but it's like they're back in time for some reason.
Yeah, the third one's like a ancestral prequel or something.
Yes, it's like history of ginger snaps. It's so good.
Yeah. I've heard it's actually pretty good.
So. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, Ginger Snaps is like, it's the werewolf movie, but it's also like a like teen feminist werewolf movie. So
it's a total like sort of, you know, it's very much like a Buffy sort of thing where like they take like, you know, teen like adolescence and high school and like, and it's a metaphor for, you know, something like supernatural or horrific. So
yeah,
you know,
they
it's
do
like,
a really good job of like, it's like becoming a werewolf is like becoming a woman kind of
coming
thing.
Of age. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And it's really, oh God, it's so good at like subverting your expectations. Such a good movie.
So it's like Teen Wolf mixed with Buffy.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly like Teen Wolf mixed with Buffy. It's so good.
But from a female perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
Less fan surfing in Nebraska.
Right.
And if you just love that Canadian landscape, you know, you just can't get enough of it.
I sure do.
I know you do, Paul. We gotta get going up there someday. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, all we have to do is actually have a home, and then we can leave that home for a vacation.
You know, I'm kind of thinking that, you know, we could figure out, like, just squatting in some people's vacation homes. We could figure that out.
Sure. We need to get some passport cards, too, because we got the border right nearby up here.
I know.
Oh, yeah, y'all are all the way up there, huh? Y'all are, like, right next to...
Paul is.
I am.
Yeah.
You are, okay.
We say right next to. I mean, even if I drove up to and through International Falls, it's still a good 2 hours, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's
about that.
Where you are, it's about 2 hours. From where the cabin was, it was about an hour.
Yeah.
So too bad we don't have that cabin anymore. Because, dude, I totally lived there all summer, just like Tommy did.
Oh, me too, man.
Who needs to bathe, dude?
I could commute from Lake Leander to the TV station.
That would
4 days
awesome,
a week.
But no, it's gone.
It's gone. It's probably literally gone, too.
Oh, I'm sure they knocked it down. We're never going back to look.
No, I don't want to know.
Me either. All right.
Okay, on that note, my childhood is dead. All right.
It's not dead. It's in your memories, sweetie.
That's right.
That's what
I don't have the house I grew up in or my cabin that I grew up in.
Well, anymore. I have the house I grew up in, but let me tell you, that's not... not looking forward to that.
Ava says that she had the nightmare about Scott's murder before it happened, and now she wants to warn Sam. She Googled a motel name off the stationery from the dream to find him. Working just like Sam and Dean do off of his dreams.
Yeah. She did that really well. I don't know if I could have had that much forethought if I was just having nightmares.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever dreamt something and decided I should look it up.
No, me neither.
Certainly not.
But my dreams are always just stupid. Like, I'm, like, scuba diving with, you know, like, I don't know, Tupac or something. Like, it's just dumb. Like, they don't make any sense.
Or apparently eating ice cream with me.
Yeah, we were eating cheeseburgers, John. It was really
cheeseburgers.
We were on the side of a mountain eating cheeseburgers. It was a great
time. Right.
Ooh, were you in Duluth? Were you in Duluth? Did I make you cheeseburgers? Because that'd be awesome.
That would be a great book.
Someday, guys, we got to do that.
I agree.
Everybody, right. we'll get everybody there somehow, some way.
We've got 11 seasons at least to work through. So,
oh God, if they just keep renewing it,
just
we'll
think
never
how
stop.
Much gray hair I'll have by the end of this whole deal.
Is Sam giving you gray hairs, dear?
No.
I am.
Just life is. No, it's not you, sweetie. It's just life. Can't help it.
Okay.
Carry on.
Even after all of that, when Sam explains that he's also a psychic, she thinks he's crazy. Especially when he asks, hey, did your mom die in a fire? And she didn't. That's psychic.
Psychic.
Or not. Meanwhile, Ellen calls Dean to say she saw Sam, but promised not to tell, then tells him anyway.
Yeah. She's a hard cookie to crack, that one.
Well, he has been, you know, by Ellen's account, calling regularly and being turned down, so.
I think you mixed your metaphors there.
I totally did. I meant nuts to crack or cookie to crumble or I don't know. Whatever. Whatever, John. You don't have to put me down.
Sometimes if you're a woman, you're just generally considered a cookie. So it totally makes sense because nut is generally a dude, right? I mean, okay, never mind. Shut up, Dursey. Go back to sewing.
Were there nut crumbles on your muffins?
No, there were not. No. I don't think that would have gone well. Cranberry orange, nope.
Cranberry orange nut crumble?
No, but we did have a peach cobbler earlier this weekend.
Oh.
God, that sounds so good.
It was amazing. I just made it out of canned peaches, too, so, you know. You guys can manage it, too.
Peaches were in season there.
Nope, just plain old canned peaches. It was really good, though.
Mm. What?
No, try it. Easy peasy.
Well, we're not too far away from fresh rhubarb, so.
Ooh, yeah. This will be our last season of that. I'm excited, though.
I'm sure we can find fresh rhubarb in Duluth.
But it won't be my rhubarb.
Okay. When Ava tells Sam that he should leave town and he refuses, she gets ready to storm back to Peoria to get back to wedding invitations. When Sam asks if she wants to know what's going on with the visions and says he needs her help. It turns out that mainly the help that he needs is for her to distract Dr. Waxler as a prospective new patient while Sam steals Scott's file.
I was so confused by this scene until we actually saw the file. Like, I was like, what is happening? Like, why is Sam, like, outside the window? Why is she talking to this killer doctor? And then it made sense, but I was so
Spider
confused.
Sam.
Yeah, I was like, what's he doing? Is he just trying to scare her? What's happening?
Spider Sam. Doing whatever Spider Sam does.
But that was a good plan. He got those files. You know, whatever.
The cassette that we saw recording in the cold open was in the file, and while they listen, Dean pulls into the parking lot outside. Dean spots Sam's room and gets the wrong idea when he sees Ava with him.
I know. Come on. We all know Sam better than this. Let's be real.
He's not going to run off just to hook up.
I know. Hook up with that girl. Come on. Let's be real, everyone. Yeah. At this point, I'm still thinking it's the doctor until like 2 seconds later, and then I'm like, oh, okay.
On the tape, Scott says there's a war coming, and the yellow-eyed man calls people like him the soldiers. Sam leans over, and glass shatters. We see that should be Gordon with a gun. Shooting for Sam.
Okay, so I was watching this episode with I watched these last night, and so I was watching with a friend, and she has only seen like a couple episodes that I forced her to watch with me, just, you know, whatever. And she's like, who's this guy? What's going on? I don't get it. What's happening? And I was like, you know, like I had to like sort of explain all the backstory. And then like while explaining it, I realized just how dumb. Like, okay, well, they left him in this like vampire lair, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't quite understand why he's still alive. I don't know. And I realized I was, like, mixing up the gun story at some point, which is just stupid. I think his sister died. I'm not sure if it was his. Okay.
Yeah.
That was all true, too. That's why.
That is what happened. You got it. You're on it.
So it's the same story.
It is, which is kind of ridiculous. But, you know, we just go with it.
Dean has spotted Gordon, too. With all the glass shattering, he thought the shots had to be coming from somewhere. Tackles Gordon before he gets a kill shot. But Gordon has the upper hand and knocks Dean out with the rifle butt. When Sam and Ava arrive at the rooftop, only shell casings remain, and an archaic television reference that Sam probably didn't actually... Anyways.
Wait, before we move on to the scene, I want to talk about that hotel room for a minute.
Oh, yes!
That hotel room was crazy as hell. They had, like, white fencing just, like, tacked up to the walls.
I know! What was going on in there? And then there were those little flowery things painted on plexiglass shoved in there. What?
So weird. It was the weirdest set design.
It was.
I like the color blue.
There was a lot of blue going. Very cool in there. Very cool.
Yeah. That was so confusing.
It was really weird. I think, you know, that was not, you know, I've had some good things to say about their hotel rooms. I'm not sure I have anything good to say about that one.
It must have been like a themed hotel room or something, like the garden room. I don't know. Like just having white plastic fencing tacked up to the walls with like stained glass flowers is a weird
design.
Well,
it kind of looked like we're 3/4 of the way through our season. Our budget is shot. What can we do? That's what I saw.
Yeah, we got to make this room look different somehow.
Yeah, we've been over this. Like, it's clearly like they have a motel set that they keep having to redress and make it look different every time.
Yeah, maybe they were drunk when they did this. I don't know. It's too much wine before 11. Jeez.
Well, I've heard about the curated hipster motels that are around nowadays. Some you know, flannel wearing bearded hipster buys a motel that's run down and then curates each of the rooms.
Oh, Paul, I have an idea for Duluth.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right. I could totally do that.
I know of a motel that's kind of run down and crappy looking, but in a nice spot.
I have this friend who's like really great at architecture. I could talk to her about this.
Yeah.
Let's discuss.
It'd be cool. Stockade. We could buy the Stockade.
It's gone.
No.
There's condos there.
No.
Yes.
How could they have done that?
The Stockade Motel is totally gone.
Oh, it was awesome, Yvette. The Stockade was a Motor Inn. And, you know, it was exactly the same way it was in 1960, whatever. It was, you know, wood paneling and plaid bedspreads. And it was so, so cool.
Oh, that sounds so awesome.
But it was still clean. And that's the thing. It was still
magically somehow still clean.
Well, they you can tell they cared for it. It's just that, yeah, it was just like walking back in time. It was so cool. I'm really sad it's gone. Okay.
Yeah, I went driving to find it, and I couldn't find it. And then when I looked on the map later, I was like, oh, that condo development that was brand new looking or relatively new looking was probably it. Because when I looked on Google Maps, you could see the satellite photo, and it's usually not all that current.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the site where the Stockade pinpoint was like a cleared dirt area. So
okay. And I mean, I can understand because it had that beautiful view right out the front. So
yeah, well, right out to the marina.
Mm-hmm. Too sad. Oh well, I'm over it.
All right.
Sam All right, calls, so they're on the rooftop.
Yeah, or... Sam calls Dean, who under gunpoint by Gordon tells Sam a local address to meet at. As Sam writes the address on the motel stationery, he tells Ava that Dean said the code word Funky Town, which means he's being held at gunpoint. Very specific one.
I figured they had to have some kind of code in there. Like, you know, like when he was talking, I was like, he's somehow letting him know.
Funky Town.
Won't you take me to
Funky Town.
Lips Incorporated.
Lips Inc. Hey, yep. I worked for the keyboardist, the guy that owned the part of the hat company that I worked for was the keyboardist from Lips Inc. And then one year at our Christmas party, remember, Paul?
Yeah.
Now her name escapes me. They had...
The vocalist.
And her name is...
Uh-huh.
Google Foo. Google Foo, anyone? I got a needle in my hand. I can't do it, so...
Uh-huh.
I'm recording, so I'm not gonna...
Okay. No, we're good.
Risk mess it up.
That's all right. At any rate, the vocalist was there. It was really awesome. We had a great time. Sweet puppy. But at any rate.
Cynthia Johnson.
There you go.
And then we also had, and at that same party, the one of the guys that I worked with at the time was filling in playing something. I forget what he was playing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was all crazy.
Yeah, okay. All right. And Chrome, go away, Chrome. Okay. Dean talks to Gordon, who says this isn't revenge for leaving him bound and alone, but because he's a hunter and Sam is fair game.
Yeah, thanks, Ash. Thanks for tipping him off.
Seems like it. Feels that way to me, man.
Yeah.
Ash was all uppity about having to go search for things and...
He totally snitched.
Well, you know.
But maybe he thinks he's doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah, maybe he does. I mean, maybe he's got a real problem with those guys and they just don't know it yet.
Kitty.
Yeah. She loves us.
Sam sees Ava off. She points out that the situation he is entering is the exact same as her vision, and she offers help, but he sends her home to be safe at home.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon says he heard of the coming war in an exorcism.
Right. Gordon then expositions for like the next 15 minutes or something. He like tells you all of his plans that there are.
There will be human soldiers, psychics enlisted against the human race, and Sam is one of those. Gordon says that he heard about Sam's visions via his Roadhouse connections.
Ash.
Mm-hmm. Feels like. Gordon says that he killed the guy that we know was Scott. Gordon predicts that Dean warned Sam somehow, so Sam will spot him guarding the front, and he'll enter the back and hit the tripwire. Dean says, that's never going to work. So Gordon says, oh, put in a second one. And, of course, we know from the vision that there was never a second tripwire discovered in that. So then it gets suspenseful for us. Dean argues that Sam could not go bad, but Gordon insists that it will happen, that it is his destiny. Gordon gags Dean and says that if John was still alive, he would have taken Sam out.
He probably would have, to be fair.
I like that they used Gordon again in this episode, because I mean the previous episode set up that he has no gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of the perfect guy to be out doing this hunt, because he has no gray areas. He's like, I know the guy, I had a drink with the guy, but I can shoot the guy, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's really consistent as a character, which, you know, I appreciate.
Sam arrives, spots Gordon, and goes around the back, as predicted. We see the explosions from Dean and Gordon's perspective. And when Gordon investigates, Sam gets the drop on him. Yay, he survived. That is boots. They fight. Sam could shoot Gordon, who taunts him to go ahead and show Dean what kind of killer he is, so Sam knocks him out. When he unties Dean, Dean goes to kill Gordon, but Sam stops him and says that he's taken care of. As they walk away, Gordon follows, firing a couple of handguns, but as Sam and Dean get to cover, the cops arrive. They arrest Gordon and find all of his weapons in his car.
Taken care
of. I feel like that hunter's going to get out of prison. Like, he's going to bust his way out of jail.
Of course. We'll see him again, right?
Yeah, we're Toad's going to see him
again. I sure hope so.
Yeah, me too.
I kind of like him.
And, I mean, if Sam says that they could pin Scott's murder on him, but I don't know if he has a knife, but I'm sure that he knows how to clean up after himself too. So other than the knife being consistent with the wounds, I don't know if they can prove anything.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I hope not, because he's kind of hot and I like to look at him. There. Done.
He is hot.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, seriously, like, I'm sure that dude has enough skills to, like, bust his way out of jail.
Oh yeah.
So
he's got it.
It doesn't even matter.
He just needs to, you know, get a fork and some dental floss. He's out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Dean goes after Ellen about Gordon's Roadhouse connections, but she insists it wasn't her, nor Joe, or Ash.
Even though we all know it was Ash, yeah.
After Sam can't reach Ava, they head to Peoria, and at Ava's house they find her dead fiancé and her engagement ring that she left behind, also traces of sulfur.
Now, why did she ditch the ring? Is that like the demon ditched the ring, or did she ditch the ring?
Yeah, I see it one of two ways, and they're letting it sit there for a minute. Mm-hmm. Either something happened and the fiance was killed and she was abducted and not turned yet, and the ring was off as a, you know, just came off or was pulled off or whatever, or she went bad. And the new demon-influenced version of herself was like, you know, screw this. I don't need this guy. I don't need the ring. I'm done with this part of my life or whatever. Mm-hmm. If she even has that much thought in her head with the possession.
I don't know.
I did like the sort of ambiguity of it. Like, we don't know if she killed the boyfriend. We don't know if the demon killed the boyfriend. We don't know if, you know, she ran away. We don't know if she's kidnapped. I like that whole thing.
So what do you think she is? Do you think that she's possessed, or do you think she's got?
I mean, they're definitely implying that, okay, she got activated and she killed her fiancé and now she's off being evil. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily trust that that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope that she may be abducted and not, you know, turned yet. Or activated or whatever.
I'm kind of hoping she's evil, but, you know. I'll be happy either way. As long as we see her again, and I know we're going to, so.
Yes, well, there's, that's.
Hello?
The question remains, who won, Sam versus Dean? What?
We lost you for a second. You're back.
You were just gone for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I said basically that's the episode. Okay. And that leaves us with the important question, first question we answer after every episode. Who won, Sam versus Dean?
Sam.
Sam, yeah. I'm gonna have to agree.
I'm running Sam on this one.
He cheated.
I'm going
death.
With Sam. Yeah.
Yeah. He did a good job. Okay.
All right, Sam.
Yay. I mean, Dean basically was not in the episode, and he showed up to be bait, and then rescued.
Yeah. True.
All right. Now we do quotes.
All right. I have one. I just remembered that when I was a kid, I swallowed like 8 things of Pop Rocks and then drank a whole can of Coke. You don't think that counts as a suicide attempt, do you?
All right, that's one of mine.
I don't have so you guys go.
Oh,
I've got one for the next one.
Oh, good.
Just one, though.
We'll let you go first next time.
Okay.
That was fast. Well, apparently that's my job. Make the monkey dance at the keyboard.
I don't have the whole conversation, but I've got that Sam says, well, I just watched a lot of T.J. Hooker.
I don't even know what that is.
T.J. Hooker was a cop show.
She's young, it's okay.
Yeah, T.J. Hooker was a cop show with William Shatner.
But then that means I'm old.
John, I think you and I are actually the same age.
Really?
How old are you?
I'm 34.
I am 36.
All right, well, we are very close.
And T.J. Hooker went off the air when Sam was 3.
Yeah, come on.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm 35. I'll be 36 in May.
It's easy to forget after 30, isn't it?
Well, you stop counting, and you're just like, whatever.
Maybe you stop counting. I am holding on to 34 as long as I can.
Yeah.
I just get to a point where I don't care anymore, and was like, yeah, I'm in my 30s. Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, T.J. Hooker was on the air between 1982 and 1986.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it ran that long. That's cool.
Yes. So much like the previous archaic television reference that I called out before when they talked about That's Incredible, either they saw some reruns that I don't know were rerunning, or the references are dated.
Or even though like the show was in the 80s and ran for as long as it did, it still felt like a 70s cop show. It was so weird.
It did have that feel. You're right. It was.
Yeah.
It had a little Starsky and Hutch and.
Or Chips.
Little
or
Kojak. Chips. Yeah, mm-hmm. It had that flavor for sure.
Who loves you, baby?
I watched the pilot of Kojak last weekend.
No way! Perfect. How was it?
It was all right. Oh, I mean, it's much like the Columbo. You can't actually watch the pilot movie.
Uh huh.
On streaming, you just can watch the first episode of the series.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it doesn't quite do as much to set up the character as I would like. Just like,
did you know the first episode of Columbo was directed by Steven Spielberg?
I think I did.
Yeah, and I think it was written by Stephen Bochco.
Uh huh.
Huh. Did you know that the Rockford Files theme song makes me cry?
I do now.
I have no idea. Yeah, Taxi does too. You're right. I have no idea why. It's just something because I remember hearing those when I was like laying in bed when I was a kid, make me cry. So
it's the only one of those like sort of old timey cop shows that I've ever watched was Dragnet, and I think I've seen every single episode because my dad loved it, and like we would just watch it together, and like we both thought it was so funny, like we'd make so much fun of it. I remember there was this one character who was a Black Panther, and his name was Mambo La Bamba. And so we would call each other, like, Mambo La Bamba all the time.
Even though it was supposed to be based in, like, real cases in real life, like, it had a very Reefer Madness vibe about it.
Tell when it was intentionally camp and when it was just camp accidentally.
Yeah.
It was so campy and good.
It's old white people trying to deal with issues that don't involve them.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all ever saw the episode where somebody, like the LSD episode, and they had people in the, they're like in the investigation room climbing the walls and their bodies painted like rainbows. And I was like, this is so good.
Yeah, it's actually, there's a network called Cozy, I think it is. I think that's the network where like they run like Dragnet and stuff like all day long. Like,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, Dragnet, Perry Mason, Marisha Rode.
Wow.
All that stuff.
Well, let's see. We've got some feedback.
Yay.
Feedback.
So I'll start by reading Heidi's and then playing audio from Nutty.
Okay.
All right. Heidi says, hey, guys. Yes. Jensen Ackles must have needed a few days off because this is mostly a Sam episode. At which point I looked up when 10 Inch Hero was filmed, and that's apparently between season 1 and 2, so it's not for that.
Mm. Maybe it's for... Or no, that might have been later. I was thinking of My Bloody Valentine 3D, but I think that came later.
Yes. Lots of returning guest stars in this episode, like Gordon and Ellen, and they get Gordon arrested. Good job, Sammy. So, what do you make of Papa Winchester telling Dean he may have to kill Sam? What's that about? Will he do it? Poor Ava, I like that actress. I know her from an episode of Smallville and The U.S. Being Human. Until next time, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we haven't really discussed the big secret, other than saying that what should he have told him or not?
I mean, yeah, I guess it's almost guys, part.
Do you guys can you guys imagine Sam going evil?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. But it's not because of him. It's just
I hope he does go evil. I mean, I guess we all know he's not going to kill him because the show goes on for another, 1,000 seasons. So. I mean,
Sam's finally going to get laid. He's going to lose his soul. And
and then he becomes the big bad of the season.
That's right. Just Willow did, right? Didn't that happen
to Willow? He's going to become Sam Jealous.
I will be excited to watch Sam Jealous. I'm ready.
That sounds pretty cool. The other thing that I thought was interesting about Gordon's perspective is the way it's presented by everybody else is that the demons are going to somehow possess or take over or enlist these psychics as soldiers against the human race. But Gordon's perspective was like, can you imagine that being a traitor to your race? I was like, I don't really think that was something that was going to be a free will choice in the matter.
Yeah.
And Gordon was kind of presenting it as, can you believe they'd turn on people like that? I was like, well, that's not exactly what he's saying.
Right.
And this will be Nutty's feedback.
Hello, IdgyCast. This is Nurchas. So I watched Hunted, and this is one of those episodes that for some reason I always forget about. I think when it first ran, I didn't see it for whatever reason. And so it's never in my memory of this season. And then when it happens, I'm like, oh yeah, it's that one. This episode, it's a lot better than you'd expect for an episode that I'm always forgetting about. So first off, some of the music in this episode is definitely on my personal playlist, and I absolutely love it all, including just some background music that was in there. Really hope you guys like that. Then you've got, more kids like Sam, which is really neat. The chick that plays Ava is from Ginger Snaps, and it's funny because I didn't see that movie until after I saw this for the first time. And then I've seen that movie, and this time I was watching it, and I was like, she looks really familiar. So, a young Shannon, Shannon Doherty's younger sister or something, she's very, very familiar. And I look her up, I'm like, oh, it's the girl from Ginger Snaps. And if you didn't see that movie, then she's on Hannibal now. Love her. Love her as Ava. I think she does a fantastic job. I especially like how she's just like, what are you? Who are you? Why do you know these things? That's really neat. Gordon comes back, which is fantastic. And Gordon is taking his very black and white view of things, and he's ready to kill everybody. And even though he's doing exactly what Dean's dad said, said Dean might have to do, Dean's like, no, it's not happening. Thoughts on that? What do you guys think about that? That Dean might have to kill Sam, that idea. Do you really think he could do it? I don't think he could do it. Personally, I mean, not even knowing what I know for the future, it's just, Dean is just, he's Mr. Family Man, right? So that's just not happening. Love, love, love how Sam bested Gordon. Now, I was thinking about this and I was like, well, wait, did Sam best Gordon all along, including in the vision? Then I went back and I saw, no, there was blood on his shoe in the vision. So, no, originally he does die. So thanks to Ava, he's able to skip the tripwire, throw his boots and get them to set the tripwire up. And then he gets Gordon pinched, which is just a little too amusing. Not such a big fan of the dropping the soap joke. I'm sorry, but rape? Especially prison rape? I'm sorry, I just don't find that funny. And I know a lot of people, it's a trope and it's a thing, and it just, every time I hear something like that, especially from somebody like Dean, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so disappointed in you. You could do better than that. But I love that solution. I love, he's going for a long time, especially with all those weapons he's got. So that's going to be fantastic. So Hunter's at the bar. Know about Sam, and it was pretty obvious, like they all kind of stopped and stared at him as he walked in, so we knew something was up. So that's a big thing. And I kind of love Ellen's thing of, well, you know, you can't protect the ones you love. And he's like, well, I say screw that, what's family for? And I kind of love that about Ellen. It's pretty neat. So I hope you guys liked this episode. I really enjoyed this episode. I mean, I'm not gonna say like it's not like a 10, but it's definitely like an 8 or something. You know, it's up there, I think. I think it should get a pretty good score. It's really not lacking much. And I guess Sam's going to have to win this one because, well, he duped Gordon. And poor Ava, she lost this one. Ava's missing. And her poor hubby. I feel so bad for her. Well, fiance, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, that's just bad. Anyway, hope you liked it. I should be on the next episode.
All right.
Thanks, Nutty.
Thanks, Nutty.
Yay.
That wasn't just a nutty bite. That was a nutty spoonful.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we ready to rate this?
Let's rate, you guys.
Ratings. Sure.
Well, I'm going to start. Overall, I think my general impression of this episode was it was depressing. I mean, yeah, there were revelations for Sam at hand, but him being hunted was just a downer for me. And even adding to that, Ava being maybe activated shortly after Sam even gets a chance to meet her, I just didn't feel excited by the episode. I felt bummed. But I was going to give it a 5. But I did have to give it points because I was longing for an arc story again. So I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 blue roses.
Okay.
You know, after hearing Paul, it actually made me change my rating. I dropped it down a point because I never thought about it in those terms. But I guess it is kind of depressing and kind of a bummer. But I just like... Catherine Isabel is just so much fun in this episode, and I like the idea of like Sam having to like go off and figure things out and then come in and save Dean because it's usually the other way around. So I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 Funky Towns.
I like this one, but again, I kind of had a same feeling of kind of frustration and sad, you know, that's, I don't know what the word for that is, but I'm sure there is one. And then I enjoyed the return of Gordon for sure, and the addition of the new female character. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 weird flowers painted on plexiglass.
Okay, so I agreed with Paul. I thought it was kind of a bummer, and I actually thought it was kind of boring, which is weird because there was a lot happening, but I really like the Ava character, and it was good to see Gordon again. Why not? So I went with 6.5 out of 10 character reappearances, which gives this episode a respectable 6.62. You know, there have been worse, you know?
Yeah. Not bad.
All right. Well, John, what's our homework for next week?
Next week's homework is season 2, episode 11, Playthings.
Killer dolls.
And there's a creepy doll.
Hey, we already watched that episode, folks, so there wasn't really a prediction. I guess my prediction was going to be that maybe someone was puppeteering people.
Oh, okay. I didn't. I was like, I thought clown doll from Poltergeist. That's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I immediately went to killer dolls, like the porcelain ceramic kind, because those are creepy as hell.
See, those aren't creepy to me. I like those, but the clown thing, not my deal.
All right. Well, I see that we have our guest for next episode in line to come on, hopefully, here. So we should wrap things up. And until next week, I'll say happy hunting.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye for a minute.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the IdgitCast from QuadruppleZ.com. Visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/IdgitCast. Email us at IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. Please use the episode title in the subject line. You can call our voicemail line, 206-309-9389. Please name the episode early in your message. The theme song for the IdgitCast was written and performed for the show by Borrowed Trouble, and the vocalist is Allie Jones. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. The closing music you are hearing right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. Find more music by Jack, as well as humor, fiction, discussion, and a variety of other goings-on at jackmangan.com, home of the Deadpan Podcast. Would you like to hear more from the hosts of the show? You can find John Pavlich on CastleCast, also from QuadrupleZ.com, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Yvette can also be heard on Investigating Mars, also at QuadrupleZ.com. Get in touch with Darcy for apparel design needs at Facebook.com. Search for Cyan Fey Designs, CYANFEY Designs. And you can also hear Darcy and I on the Ghostlight podcast, an intercast for the television series Slings and Arrows, at QuadrupleZ.com.
Hamster Huey and the Gooey Kablooey. It's a Calvin and Hobbes reference.
Oh, is it? That's awesome.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm out of the know. But it's really funny.
But you know the Calvin and Hobbes.
I do know the Calvin and Hobbes, but apparently not as well as I thought I did.
Oh.
I know. Bad.
It's an obscure reference. Don't worry.
Well, we just didn't ever buy the hardback complete collection.
Well, we should have.
Gosh.
Good reading for the children.
Right. Okay. I don't think any of that needs to be in the after show, but who knows? We'll find out later. All right.
They turned the volume down when they turned on the TV this morning because I was still sleeping. I was so proud of them.
Did they get themselves some Apple Jacks too?
No, they didn't, because I promised that I'd get up at 7:30 and make muffins if they were good.
Oh dear.
So I did. So
now we have muffins.
So they had muffins. Everybody was happy, and I got to sleep till 7:30.
I wish I had a fresh baked muffin.
Well, you should get yourself a wife and some kids.
Wow.
soon.